Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 5:08 here on this Thursday, May 8th, 2025. Thank you for joining the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show today. We're going to talk about something that we've talked about on this show before, but the report just came out and it's way worse than we expected. Former President Joe Biden failed floating Gaza pier plan left 62 U.S. personnel injured, one service member dead, and caused at least $31 million in damage to military equipment, according to a scathing Pentagon watchdog report that found the Army and Navy failed to properly plan, train for, prepare, and coordinate this mission. Now, back when this was going on, this Gaza pier where we were supposed to offload humanitarian supplies, I talked about this from the very beginning of its fruition, because one of the things that I looked at was the actual documentation for this floating pier, when it's applicable and when it's not applicable, when it could be used, when it shouldn't be used, what sea state, which means the size of the waves, the wind, the logistics for the area. And it was quite clear, based on the military's own manual for this type of floating pier, that it was not suitable for this type of location. And let me explain why. And the reason this pisses me off, and it should piss you off, is for what I just said. 62 U.S. personnel injured and one service member dead because of this, let's look like we're doing something, where they knew from the start. And I hope the military leaders are held accountable. I hope the Pentagon dives in further and sees who's still active in our military that approved this and bring charges on them and let's hear from them why they were pressured on doing such a negligent job, because it did cost lives, it did cost injuries. Now, the floating pier, this module pier that they used in this area, bringing, so U.S. troops or ships did not have to land in Gaza. They could go off and offload this aid, and they were still shot at when they were doing this, so it's not like it was free from danger. But this type of pier, this type of floating avenue from ships to shore, are only viable for a sea state of 1 through 3. Now, what a sea state is, it decides how heavy the winds are, how fast, how many knots the winds are blowing at, and what's the normal ratio for this type of area. What's the sea state as far as the waves? What size waves do they have? Are waves 1 to 2 feet? Are they 3 feet to 5 feet? Or is it more, nasty than that? So this type of pier is only able to be used from a sea state of 1 to 3. Now, 1 being a calm sea where like our lakes normally are in our area and such like that. And a sea state of 3, this pier is only applicable and usable at a limited capacity. Well, you have to realize that the Mediterranean in the vicinity of Gaza is commonly at a sea state from 3 to 5. It's a very big body of water. As a matter of fact, when you're there, it looks like an ocean, sort of like our Great Lakes, if you've ever been up to our Great Lakes. It's a very huge body of water, many times more the size of our Great Lakes, but you can't see the other side of our Great Lakes. So to kind of put it in perspective for you. Well, because of that open waterway, because of the winds that are there, because of the desert terrain that's around there, winds get very high. Winds create waves. So that's why the sea state gets so volatile here. So with the sea state of this area being normally from a 3 to a 5, to set up a pier for military use, for our men and women and service members to be there to put themselves in danger, to build this pier with our engineers, just goes to show you how negligent it was to even attempt to put something that was not made for this type of environment, just to show the world that, look, America's doing something for the Palestinians. They're doing something for Gaza. Listen, if the Palestinians want to do something for the Palestinians, stop electing terrorists as your elected government. That would be the best thing to do. So in this report now, the Defense Department Office of Inspector General, released just this week, Tuesday, found that military services were not adequately prepped for this mission, dubbed Operation Neptune Solace. But the project moved ahead despite the Army and Navy facing low equipment mission capability rates and low manning and training levels. But that's not the only thing. They're talking about training and preparing for this mission. this type of equipment, this asset that we have, this floating pier, is not suitable for this type of environment. It's plain and simple as that. And someone in the military, and I don't care where the orders were coming from, someone in the military should have said, hey, this is not suitable for this type of environment. There's the potential for loss of life. There's the potential for serious physical injury. And that's exactly what happened. We lost a life, and now they're talking about 60, upward of 62 U.S. personnel that have been injured during this course. Not to mention that we were taking fire while we were building this pier, while we were trying to provide humanitarian aid for the Palestinians that Hamas, the terrorists, would just steal and use for their own. So was this ever a good idea? Excuse me. No, it wasn't. So I would like these military leaders to be brought before a trial and have to answer for why you allowed something like this happen. Listen, our military is a chain of command. People make decisions, and the higher up you go, the more important decisions you make. But I don't care if you're an ensign or a second lieutenant. You're in charge of people's lives. You're in charge of your platoon's lives. You're in charge of your crew. Safety, well-being, and training. So I don't care at what stage someone should have said, hey, this is not the right equipment to use for here. We're putting people in danger. And if they went on the record of as saying that and they were simply overruled, which could very well be the case, then at least they're covered. Let's move up to the next person that endangered that. Now, if this goes all the way up to the White House, if this goes up to the commander-in-chief himself at the time, Joe Biden, who was making those decisions? Was it Joe Biden? Was it somebody else? Let's find out those issues. Let's find out exactly what happened there, because this is egregious. Listen, one U.S. life is one too many. 62 injuries are even further than that. They say the U.S. Navy and Army did not allocate sufficient maintenance, manning, or training, according to the report, which also found that the service did not organize, train, and equip to a common joint standard for the called Joint Logistics Over the Shore, JLOTS operation. And that's what this equipment is called. This joining nation nature of the effort contributed to 27 watercraft and other paraphernalia suffering damage, costing $31 million to repair, the report found. The Army and Navy-specific equipment, including watercraft piers and causeway, as well as command, control, and communication systems, were not interoperable, which means they couldn't work together. So not only did we injure 62 of our men and women and military personnel, causing the death of another member of our military, we caused damage to 27 watercraft and other paraphernalia at the cost of $31 million. This is negligent at its highest levels. This is where we should have the trust in our military leaders to say, you know what, this is not safe. Because if you cannot build and operate a pier in a safe environment, or just overlook the fact that your own manual says this pier is to be only used in a sea state of 1 through 3, and if your sea state is at a 3, then you need to only operate at a minimum capacity because it is too treacherous, it is too dangerous, then we have bigger problems. Because what happens if a report comes out that there's, you know, a minor issue with, let's say, an Osprey aircraft, or let's say one of our F-18s, or let's say one of our ships, or let's say one of our tanks or armored personnel carriers? Are we just going to overlook that because, you know, the world prism, the public at large, we want to look good to, and we want to make sure we're operational in this while putting our members at risk? Now, make no mistake, our men and women in our military in all branches put their lives at risk each and every day, be it training, be it just being on a military base, be it just wearing our uniforms. They are a target around the world for who they are, a symbol of American might, symbol of the American military, the symbol of us, the American people. But if we cannot trust our leaders to put them in the best situation, the most safest situation to complete their mission, then what are we to be thinking? What are we to think when the situation is more dangerous? Now, not to say this was not a dangerous situation, but this was completely avoidable. This was nothing more than the past administration wanting to look like they were bringing humanitarian aid to this region of the world during this time. They didn't truly want to support Israel. They didn't truly want to get on the ground and do anything with the terrorists, Hamas, and Palestinians. So let's build a pier so we can at least say we're giving material. We're giving food rations. We're giving, you know, fuel oil to this organization where we know for a fact that Hamas, the terrorists, simply took it all and gave very little to the people that they were supposedly governing. So here's a point where there needs to be accountability, and this needs to transcend politics. Listen, the Biden administration is gone. Joe Biden is out of office. There's nothing that could be done here to them. But if there are members still in the military that allowed this to happen, they need to be made examples of, because our military should be apolitical. If you're making decisions, if you're at least not standing up and saying, "I'm sorry, sir, but this is not a safe use of this type of material. Our own manual says it can only be used from here to here." And again, if they're overruled, then so be it. But at least you are covered for standing up for your men and women. At least you can have, as a military leader, a clear conscience to say, "Hey, you know what? You know, I did my best and I was overruled." You still have to live with that. I'm sorry, if you're a general, if you're an admiral out there that had any part in making this decision, you caused the death of a young man or a young woman in our military uniform. You caused the injury to 62 people. How serious those injuries are, we don't know. This report doesn't get into that. But you also caused $31 million in damage, and we lost the pier itself. The pier totally imploded and self-destructed because it was not suitable for that area. The waves, the winds actually tore this pier apart, showing that the Army-Navy manuals for this type of floating pier, this J-LOTS, was right. It can only be used in sea state of 1 to 3, 3 being only at a minimal basis because it is too treacherous. You know, you can only use it on a limited capacity. Well, the sea state in the Mediterranean near Palestine, near the Gaza Strip, is commonly at a sea state of 3 to 5. Now, sea states go from a 1 to a 5, 5 being, you know, the most harshest, 1 being calm seas, calm winds. So, will somebody be held accountable? I hope so. But one of those injured, Army Sergeant Quandrius Devon Stanley, 23, died October 31st while under long-term medical care. And he was injured from this, from the negligent use of this pier. So will someone be held accountable? I hope so, because military should transcend that, and we should have the confidence as Americans and our military leaders to make the safest, best decisions to complete the mission, but also to care for our men and women. This is Rob O'Donnell on WILK. It's time for 2020 Traffic and Weather Together.